One of the easiest ways to identify a true follower of Jesus Christ is how compassionately that person treats other people. The Savior's message is clear. His true disciples build, lift, encourage, persuade, and inspire. No matter how difficult the situation, true disciples of Jesus Christ are peacemakers.
Hello, this is Dak Sorensen from the University of Utah Institute of Religion. This is the podcast series entitled How Firm a Foundation. During this episode, we will be interviewing Michael Gregson, who grew up in Salt Lake City, Utah. He's the second of six kids, two boys and four girls. His interests include people, sports, reading, playing chess with his wife, hiking, trips, wakeboarding, dodgeball, and chocolate. Michael and his wife Alicia have three kids, Savannah, 9 years old, Preston, seven, and Indy, four. Impromptu dance parties are a must at the Gregson, so if you ever come to visit, be ready to bust a move. Professionally, he works for the tech company Domo as a sales rep based in American Fork, but for the past 14 years, he has been speaking to church groups, addiction recovery centers, and sharing his story on podcasts. In 2017, the Mormon Channel produced a short video about part of his life titled Returning to Prayer, highlighting his recovery from addiction and the Savior Jesus Christ's grace and mercy that was freely given to him in a moment of desperation that saved him from suicide. Michael is also the host of a podcast called Come Towards Delight, and on the podcast he interviews everyday people who have overcome trials and failures to find hope, faith, and light again in their lives. And today for the podcast, we will actually be discussing suffering and adversity. So thank you so much for being with us here, Michael.
Dax, I appreciate you having me. Thank you for inviting me, and thanks for the warm welcome so far. Appreciate it.
Of course. For our first question, obviously, in discussing suffering, as I thought about it myself, my first main question whenever I'm going through a hard time, and I think many youth like me would share it, is why is this even happening to me? Why does suffering at all happening in this world, whether it's happening to me or someone I love? And I did some studying, and I found a scripture that I'd like to share, and I'd just like to hear your thoughts about it, if that's okay. It's from Moses 6:48, and it says, "And he said unto them, Because that Adam fell, we are, and by his fall came death, and we are made partakers of misery and woe." So what are your initial thoughts about that scripture?
Gosh, that's a beautiful scripture. It's hard, I think, sometimes. But initially, I just have to say this first and foremost. There may be somebody that listens to this podcast that's right in the middle of suffering, tragedy or sickness or something that's painful. And I just have to say, I know we all go through really tough things. Right. And all of the pain and the trials, affliction, it's different for all of us. But when we're in the middle of ours, it hurts. And nobody's challenges are harder than anyone else's. They're all created for us. And that's why we know God loves us. And it's hard to think that, because I think you go, wait a second, God is love. Wait, so why do we have to struggle? Why do we have to be challenged? But I think that's the very proof that God is love, is he allows us to be stretched, and he wants us to go through this struggle, because that's when we really learn who we are, right? I think that scripture that you shared just a second ago in Moses, you sent that to me and asked me to think about it for just a second. I put some time into it over the last couple of days. And first off, I love that scripture, and I love where your mind is with that, because it shows a wisdom, right? There's a scripture somewhere that says ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge thereof. And I think that's the whole thing, right? Is if we truly look to God and learn of him and study the words that he's given us that give us life eternal, Christ calls it the living water, right? If we go to him and we seek that living water, then peace is spoken to our heart and to our souls. And we understand that while we are here, it is so important for us to be tried in all things and tested and tempted, and to be able to fall and to be able to make mistakes and to be able to have the opportunity to repent, because that is how we learn who we are. That is how we uncover and discover the talents that God has given us. And that's how we learn to love ourselves. Loving ourselves doesn't come naturally. It comes through the struggle. It comes through the challenge of our faith and us realizing and recognizing the strength that we have within us to say, I can do this. And with God, I can do all things. And the Savior's right there by my side, right?
Yeah, I especially like this growth concept that you're talking about, especially when you talk about learning to love yourself. I know that's a particular trial that a lot of people have in the church, especially when we're combated with these things like be perfect and a lot of commandments where the standards are high. And it feels like the life that we're living is simply one big test. And so it's very anxiety-inducing to think about that. And yet we struggle so often, we fail quite a lot. And yet you say that's exactly what taught you how you've loved yourself and who you are.
I want to invite you to, and this generally goes to anyone who listens, right? I think we do look at this life and we do think of it as a test. But I'll tell you what, when I was in high school and college and I knew I had a test, that was like anxiety filled. I was filled with anxiety. That word test is like, oh my gosh. Think about this for a second. In the life before we came here, we lived in a perfect environment. We lived with our heavenly parents. We were tutored, we were taught, but we didn't live in a place where that was fallen, that had so many challenges and that was imperfect, right? So we needed the opportunity to come here to actually learn through being in a mortal life, having death around us, spiritual death, having the chance to make mistakes, to really use the will that God has given us an ability to choose, right? So my invitation is, let's look at this as a classroom rather than that test, right? I think the test we'll be able to pass if we start to look at this as a classroom and go, man, like, give yourself space to grow. Give yourself space to learn. When we make mistakes, that's okay. It's part of the plan. If we didn't have the Savior Jesus Christ, who is the focus, everything is an appendage to his atoning sacrifice for us, right? If we didn't have him, we wouldn't be here. And if he didn't do what he did, there would be no plan. The plan is perfect because of him. And what he does for us is he gives us that space and that room to grow. That's the reason he came here. Failure is a part of the game. We've got to fail. We have to. We're supposed to fail. And I think when we start to think we have to be perfect, that's when we get into really unsafe territory. That's when we miss the mark. Because nobody's going to get through this life unscathed. Nobody is going to get through this life without making mistakes, except for one. And we're grateful that he came and he lived the way he did. One more thought that I have there. That scripture, be therefore perfect. I've thought so much about that scripture. Because you're right. If you look at that one scripture in that one verse where Christ says, be therefore perfect. He's asking something that cannot be in a fallen world, right? You cannot be perfect. How do we get there? I've thought about this so much. And I've thought about, I love the Savior. He's my best friend. He's my hero. I know him. I feel his love. And I've thought so much about this experience of what would it be like if I was standing there right there with him? What does his tone sound like saying that to me? Put yourself in your shoes right there in front of him, having him say that line to you. What does that look like? Is it, Dax, you got to be perfect? Nah. I look at it as like him with his hands extended to me saying, here's my gift to you. Do you accept that? The only way that you can get to perfection is through what I have done for you. But come unto me, follow me, take my hand, I'll show you how, and here's my gift to be perfect to you through my atonement. Do you accept that gift? And I feel that, and I look him right in the eyes, and I say yes all day long. I accept that gift, and that changes my behavior. I'm not perfect still, but it changes my behavior and my desire to be obedient because I know what that leads me to, happiness, life, joy, connection. That's beautiful. And then when the time comes, I can answer that question. I accept your gift all day long. Please make me perfect the way that you want me to be, the way that you intended me to be.
When you're confronted with so many trials and you're just so overwhelmed with anxiety about, I have to be perfect, I have to do my best to not fail and not make mistakes, And how do you combat that?
I love it. First of all, I got to say something about anxiety. Anxiety is not necessarily a bad thing. We have to change the way we understand anxiety. We look at anxiety and we're like, oh man, that's just, nobody wants that. It's crushing, right? And it is, right? There's definitely anxiety that can stop us and paralyze us. But the Lord also tells us to be anxiously engaged in a good cause, right? Hmm. So I think if we hear the Lord there, he says, anxiously engaged, anxiety can be a good thing. It can actually move us to doing something else. So when I'm in those spaces, and listen, I've had anxiety in my life where I've been paralyzed. It's literally crippled me, which I know a lot of people go through. If you're in that space, relax, breathe, slow down, and talk to him. Talk to Heavenly Father. Pour out your soul. If you're angry, take that anger and say, Heavenly Father, I'm angry. And let him fill your heart. He knows it, but you have to allow him to feel it and see it, because that's your agency, inviting him to do something with that. So go to him. Get on your knees. Don't try and do it on your own. That's Satan's plan. His plan is, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you. His burden is easy. It's light. And that's what he wants. He wants to help us. But we have to choose to let him help us.
I can sense the intimacy of the relationship that you have with the Savior and with God. And I think, like you've been talking about, when you're in the midst of struggle, whatever it may be, if it's grief of a loved one passing, if it's addictions, if it's even something as simple as like a hard relationship or struggling in school, how do you get a sense of God's love for you? Because that seems to be what buoys you up the most, is that when you remember your Savior, when you go to him. But how do you do that when you feel unworthy to do so?
Gosh, this life, I don't know. I don't know how often we do feel like, oh, I'm so worthy, right? Even the temple recommend questions, right? That last one. Do you feel worthy to enter God's temple, like the house of the Lord? I think a lot of us go, well, I'm trying my best. Well, that's worthy. That's worthy. Dax, to answer that question, I have to go back to the trial in all things. I have to go back to the failures. I have to go back to the mistakes. There's a moment in everyone's life where there's a crossroads of, do you see yourself as a son or daughter of God, or do you not? That's the question of life, because if that question is answered in your heart and soul, that you're a child of God, that's really where your journey begins. And that's where you start to look to God for wisdom, for help, for guidance, right? But when you decide that you're not a child of God, you don't know, that's when you can kind of brush off everything and go about this life how you want to, and you navigate your own way in the dark. I've seen that happen with a lot of my friends, and I've been in those spaces myself as well. I think we have to go back to how do we fill the voice of the Spirit? Interesting how I say that, right? Fill the voice of the Spirit, right? It's that feeling, but it's also a whisper in our soul. Go to Galatians 5, 22 and 23. And if you've served a mission, you know these scriptures very well. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, temperance, patience, faith. And I probably misquoted that a little bit, so go back and correct me if you know it. But the voice of the Spirit, if once we recognize how God speaks to us and that it comes in a still small voice and it's a feeling and a thought, I think we remember, holy cow, God's talking to us a lot more often than we actually give him credit in doing. If we feel peace, if we feel love, if we feel joy, if we feel goodness, if we have good thoughts coming to our mind, that's not always produced by ourselves. The Spirit uses our memories sometimes, but that's God working within us, and we have to give him the credit for that. And that's when we can slow down and recognize that. Something interesting in a lesson that we had as Latter-day Saints this year already to start the year, go back to the story of Moses. Moses is literally given the opportunity to see God face to face. God comes and he says a couple things. First thing he does is he says, I'm God. This is my glory. These are all the works that I've created, the workmanship of mine hands, right? And then after that, the first thing he says to Moses is, you are a son of God. So he tells his identity. So Moses knows who he's talking to. I'm God. I'm your father. Here's the workmanship of my hands. Can you imagine that? You're like, holy cow, that's a ton of information. But then he says, you're a son of God. You're my son. You're created after my image in the image of mine only begotten son, Jesus Christ. So he then tells Moses, after saying who his identity is, Moses' identity is the son of God. He talks about the Savior, right? The Savior. He bears witness of his son. The first thing after Moses goes through this experience with God and he's kind of left after God leaves, he's tired. His mind just saw all the workmanship of God's hands. Can you imagine how tired that would be? He's exhausted, and Satan shows up in a moment of weakness, complete weakness. He has no physical energy. He's just exhausted. His mind can't retain any more information. Here comes Satan, right? Good old Satan. He tries to tell him, tries to smash his identity. You are not a son of God. You are a son of man. You are going to die. You're nothing. You can't create anything. You have no value. Thou son of man. And Moses says, who are you? I worship the God of glory, and I worship the Savior. Remember who they are. Remember what the Savior has done for you. And stop and allow yourself to really be in that moment of prayer and asking God the question, how do you see me? Help me to see myself the way that you do. I think that is so important to do, and we don't really take the time to do that very often. How do you see me? Help me to understand the way that you look at me. Because you know what? As a father, imperfect father, very imperfect father, if my child asked me that question, holy cow, you're darn right, I'm going to sit down with them, put my arm around them, and say, I love you. And that's when we have to remember how he talks to us. Because he will. He'll talk to us.
Yeah, it actually reminds me of something that I remember hearing a long time ago from Jeffrey R. Holland. It's a particular talk that deals a lot with mental health in particular, but I think it applies to anything. And the quote is, so how do you best respond when challenges confront you or those you love? Above all, never lose faith in your Father in heaven, who loves you more than you can comprehend. As President Monson said to Relief Society Sisters so movingly last Saturday evening, that love never changes. It is there for you whether when you are sad or happy, discouraged or hopeful. God's love is there for you whether or not you feel you deserve it. It is simply always there. Never ever doubt that, and never harden your heart. After speaking with you for just a brief amount of time, I think to sum up what a lot of what we've been talking about is to this next question of, well, we're suffering because we're learning to grow. This life is a classroom, like you said. But then to overcome that suffering, or to at least endure it well, because there are some trials that, honestly, people in life, they will have it for as long as they're in mortality. Mm-hmm. But by understanding your relationship with God, and by understanding the character of God, I think sometimes for a lot of people, he's very mysterious, very ambiguous. But when you think of him, when you think of the Savior as literal beings who are more realistic, who are more understanding than you can comprehend, I think that grounds you in reality a little bit. How did that help you, especially through your own journey?
It's more courageous to believe in God than it is to challenge God. I think we sometimes get in these, not necessarily ruts, but we kind of come to this space, this crossroads where we say, who is God? Well, it's all right there before us. Look at the history of the world. We have the scriptures. We have God's word there before us. It's proven. It's proven. It's withstood the test of time. It's withstood every negative thing that's ever been there. And you study the scriptures. You literally sit down and study them, and you tell me that you don't feel God when you read them. It doesn't work like that. If you study with your heart open and your mind open, that you will feel him. He will talk to you as you study those words. Going against God and starting to try and find something else that's out there, it's interesting how when we walk away from our Heavenly Father and the Savior Jesus Christ, we'll see that people walk away, but there's only so far they can go. What is an atheist? An atheist is someone who's hurt so much they just don't want to believe there's a God. It's not that they know there's not a God. They don't know that. It's because they're hurt. It's because something's happened in their lives where they just don't, they don't want to associate that with an actual loving God. There's no understanding there of why we go through trials and challenges like you've suggested. And the first thing we do when we walk away from God, at least I know for me and for some of my friends that have done the same thing, is as soon as we walk away or try and find ourselves space away from that understanding and that belief, for whatever reason, mine came because of pain. Mine came because I wasn't willing to accept accountability for a lot of what was happening in my life. And it was hard. It was hurtful. It was painful to go through in that space of my life. I'd just gone through a divorce, and being raised in the LDS church, that's hard, right? Because we believe everything, family and that last covenant is everything to us. So I was in a tough place. But when you walk away, we stop saying the name Jesus Christ. We stop connecting Heavenly Father to actually being a person, a perfect, immortal person. But we do that. And then all of a sudden, it becomes universal law and order. It becomes the great light that we know is there. We acknowledge as being there because there's some kind of order over this earth and this universe, right? But we try and disconnect the identity of our Heavenly Father. Well, why do we do that? Because we start to think that we know better. That somehow the learning that we gain and what we look to is teaching us that there is no God, that we need to rely on ourselves for everything that happens in our lives. That is the adversary's greatest teaching, that it's all about me. It's all about I. This world that we live in, Dax, as you know, it doesn't teach us unselfishness. It teaches us selfishness. You got to have the right title. You got to have the right career. You got to go down the right academical path. You need to stand out. If you don't, you're nothing. And if you're nothing, get out of everybody's way because you're not good enough. That's what this world teaches us. It teaches us to be selfish. But if we look to our Heavenly Father, everything becomes outward. Everything becomes, how can I help another? What can I do to serve somebody else? What can I do to live my Heavenly Father's will? What can I do to lighten someone else's burden? Joy is in that life. Joy is in the life of giving of yourself, not in getting of yourself. Because in the getting of yourself, you are getting nothing that is lasting. We don't create, we don't give eternal life. We can't. We don't do that. Heavenly Father does through His Savior, Jesus Christ. And when we look to Him, and we recognize who we are to Him and that He wants to help us all along the way, He literally lightens our load. That's when we can go to Him and say, please help me. Please put me where you want me to be, when you want me to be there. Help me say and do the right things, but please help me. And guess what? He does. He never lets us down. No matter what it is, spiritual, temporal, physical, social, whatever it is, He will help us if we will allow Him to. If we don't allow Him to, if we don't choose to ask Him to, He's a perfect gentleman. He's not going to force His way into our lives unless we've destroyed it so much that He's got to try and He's going to do everything He can to try and get us to wake up. That's why I got hit by a car a long time ago. And that's for another time. But He's a perfect gentleman. His promises are true and they're real. He gives us the ability to act. And He allows us to deal with the consequences. But as soon as we ask, as soon as we get to a place where we can't do it anymore, He's right there. Not to force anything, not to force us to come His way, but extending that arm of mercy and grace always with the invitation, come to me. Let me help you. Let me lighten that load. I'm the God of the universe. I've created you. I've created all of it. Don't you think I want to help you? Don't you think that I can bless your life temporally, spiritually, mentally, physically? Let me help you. We've got to give that to Him. that's the greatest thing that will ever happen to us, is when we recognize that we can, and that he'll always live up to that promise.
All right. That was fabulous. This has been an amazing experience. But before we finish up, we ask every guest that we have just one little question. This kind of relates to the larger theme of our podcast. So in addition to what we've talked about today, what are you doing personally in your life right now to build a stronger foundation?
Very simple. Those primary answers. Kind of laughable, right? We're in the college world. We're in the world of study, and we want to know all the answers to everything and show our genius, if you will. Access to information is there, so we can go to Google and at the fingertips find answers to whatever. But how do we know where the source of those answers come from? Prayer. Prayer is so important. If we pray, if we connect with our Heavenly Father, He will show us the way. He will guide us. And He's more involved in our lives than we will ever understand. In John 15, it talks about how Christ is the vine and we are the branches. And there's a verse in there that says something very important that is absolutely real that I've learned in my life. That the branches are nothing without the vine. Amen to that. I'm nothing. I'm not sent here to become the end-all be-all. That's not the point. I'm sent here to learn to trust God, that He will help me with every aspect of my life. He will guide me. He will lead me to the places that I need to be and help me to understand exactly who I am and who He created me to be. And I'm so grateful for prayer, because in those moments where I make room for Him, prayer is the most faithful act to me. It's the most simple thing in the world we can do, but we get so busy and distracted that it literally becomes something that's like a challenge for us a lot, oftentimes in our life. But when we go to Him in prayer, however it is, even if it's that last second throw up a prayer while you're laying in bed because you're so tired, that's fine. If you're in anger, pray. That's fine. Pray. Because you're making room for Him in your life. You're saying, Heavenly Father, I need You. Help me. And that alone right there is everything. Because He will. When we ask, we receive. He promises that to us. And so my invitation to anybody, if you're struggling, if you're hurting, if you are praying even, continue. Continue in prayer. Make room for Him in your life, and as you do, He will show up. He never lets us down.
My dear brothers and sisters, how we treat each other really matters. How we speak to and about others at home, at church, at work, and online really matters. Today I'm asking us to interact with others in a higher, holier way.
This podcast series has been produced by students at the Institute at the University of Utah.
If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with a friend.
To direct others to this podcast, to listen to other episodes in this series, or to enroll in the Institute class associated with these podcasts, see our website at overcometheworld.podbeam.com.
This recording is not an official publication of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. The views expressed are those of the participants and are neither the official doctrine nor the official teachings of the church.